Good morning. Welcome to Morning Java, brought to you as always by our friends at the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where it's Thanksgiving every day, because they've got the Pilgrim Sandwich, which is Thanksgiving on a bun, which means if you like what you have on Thanksgiving, just think of it as like being available to you all through the holiday season. Joined by Ramon Foster down in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And Moan, it's Ravens week, or it's Ravens short week. Really short week.
Like
one practice for Pittsburgh and zero for Baltimore. Tell, first of all, what impact does that have? I mean, you hear athletes say it both ways, like, oh, we don't need so much practice. But then when there isn't enough, it becomes an issue.
Yeah. It has an impact in the sense of, okay, well, how savvy is your team? How many veterans do you have on your team? Also, the mindset of the coach, too. If a coach has a mindset to have guys ready at all times, that's what happens, too. And I feel like that's where, if you're interviewing our team in Pittsburgh, that's where the advantage comes in at, is we have always been ready no matter what. And guess what? If we're not, Coach Tomlin's going to hit you with the "we do not care, I'll see you on game day" type of mindset anyway, because the job got to get done. Because if for anything, they want to see Pittsburgh lose. And the way I feel about Baltimore not having any practices, not my problem. Good luck with it.
You know, but there's not going to be any sympathy extended in their direction in any capacity, is there?
No, absolutely not. That just reminded me. I had an open bet with a restaurant in Baltimore. They bet me the first time they played, and then they said, "See you next time." And guess what I'm going to do this time? "Hey, guys, you still want to bet for free food again?" And I'll see how enthusiastic they are.
The thing is, and I understand that COVID is a serious thing and everything else. Yes. And you know, you wish well for, you know, the guys on the, you know, the two running backs and anybody that they might have come in contact with. So certainly not making light of that. But at the same time, it's part of the game this year. It just is.
I mean, Vance is just not coming off the COVID list right now, man. We've had guys that had to miss practice and have adjustments to their schedule. I mean, Pittsburgh is without their young, really good linebacker in Devin Bush this year, too. So every team has their issues, DK. It's a matter of how good your coaching is and his coaching staff to keep guys focused. It's about how mature the guys are as professionals to handle these type of adjustments. And honestly, it's simply not making excuses. You guys have heard me time and time again. Mike Tomlin is something I live by also. Hey, people either don't want to hear your problems or glad you got them. And guess what? If the offices in New York say the ball game is on, you better put together whatever you can to put up whatever show you need to make yourself feel good about it.
When you faced Baltimore last season, I assume they didn't exactly hold back because they saw that you didn't have Ben. I mean, that's the way those games went. And they were the same Pittsburgh-Baltimore
it was
types of meetings, and it's not like they were going, "Oh, yeah, but hang on. Sorry, guys. We know you don't have your franchise quarterback." You know, it's just not how it works.
It wasn't. And truth be told, that was my last professional game in Baltimore against that team, with a team that was binless, a defense that was scrapping and doing everything they needed to get done. And, heck, we competed well enough still, but I never forget, like, man, it doesn't matter what emotional feelings you have going into it. If they can put their foot on your neck, they will. And that's what I tell Pittsburgh this weekend. Put your foot on their neck. I always say if it's a game between me and you, okay, this has been my mantra for a long time in this league. If it's a game between me and you and I got the opportunity to get you, I'm going to step on your neck to get what I want. Pittsburgh is trying to win the AFC North first. Goal number one every single year. And after that, now it's positioning as far as playoff seeds.
Okay, but let's throw in a number 2B, if you will.
Okay.
This can, you said put foot on the neck. This can come really close to ending Baltimore season. Don't tell me that's not a factor in this.
It is. It is for a lot of different reasons. I think one is the terror they put on everybody last year with Lamar offense and just league MVP. And there's nothing against him. It's just nobody had figured out how to stop them. Nobody had figured out how to neutralize Lamar. And if you look at team after team after team, the ones that beat them or competed with them. Indy was on their way until they had offensive troubles. But if you look at it, it's also this also could be the end of an era. I mean, I had somebody ask me earlier this week, well, what is it going on with the Titans in Baltimore? And I said, I feel like the culture isn't what it was. What was the GM that they had that just retired last year? Ozzie Newsom. His type of guys might not be the guys that are in that building right now as a whole. It's the ones that's playing right now. And I don't want to say Harbaugh is on the hot seat, but let's not forget that last game we had in which we're watching Baltimore before Lamar went on this run. You remember we were all sitting in the stadium. Everybody's kumbaya and watching the game. Harbaugh was on the way out there in Baltimore.
I remember
that. If they lose twice,
yeah, he was lucky to stick. Yeah,
he was lucky to stick. So I venture out to say I feel like he's on the short leash also.
All right, here comes one where Ramon takes us not only inside the huddle, but inside the brain of the franchise's quarterback. Because the franchise's quarterback this week was visibly irritated, which is hilarious considering they're 10-0 and everything. But he can be that way, as you know infinitely better than I do. And his thing, he had a hard time spitting it out. Like, what's wrong, Ben? What's wrong, Ben?
Yeah.
And finally, it came out. They didn't get enough points Sunday in Jacksonville. I know he's kind of into this 30-point thing, and I get that.
Yeah.
He's been into that for a while, and I understand that. You're setting a bar somewhere, and the Steelers ended up with 27, and he genuinely felt like they could have gotten more. And he didn't come out and say that, but that they did not have a pretty second half.
Right.
But then when he's pressed on it some more, in his weekly thing with us, this was on Tuesday, he gets real edgy about the idea that the Steelers somehow need to be running more. They need to have a certain percentage of run pass. He just said, we just need to win the football game.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. But when I hear that, Moan, all I hear is I want to pass more. What is it exactly? What is it with it? Did he just want to pass the ball more, or is it just, you know, he just doesn't want to be dictated to what the percentages should be?
Yeah, I think, okay, if I'm answering this, I think he doesn't want to be dictated what the percentages are, because at the end of the day, winning the game is all that matters. I mean, it's not a big deal if Ben is having the 500-yard passing game. We don't look at the runs then, the run pass then. Also, looking at the sense of him sending the 30 points is, when you said that, the thing that came to my mind was this, DK. Pittsburgh is a really good team, am I right? Pittsburgh is also a team, if you put Vegas odds on it or whoever said, hey, they should be a Super Bowl contender. That is also very true in a sense.
Yep.
The other side of this is this. They're in a competition with themselves, I think, more this year, considering what's happened last year. And also the gap between being a deep in the playoff contender. And so I bring all of that around in a sense of saying, okay, the run pass situation means something, but it means nothing. I think the points mean more to Ben than it does how you get those points. I know I've written about it. I know we've had Java about getting the run game going, moving forward with that, being balanced up. But I think the biggest thing of it all, the biggest issue of it all, or the biggest goal, the big picture item is score with Kansas City. I think he's thinking, and it may not have been said in a team meeting, it may just be a thought, but in order to win the AFC North, I mean, win the AFC Championship this year, I think Kansas City's going to walk into it. They're good enough. Mahomes is good enough. I'm a player and been in this role before when we were in positions. Okay, we got to find ways to beat those type of teams. If we can beat the Patriots this way and we can minimize them and we can score, the defense we know can do certain things. I think the points level of 30 means a lot because our defense is good enough, but they're not playing in Kansas City in the regular season. So you don't get a chance to get that film out there.
Right.
If the Steelers defense can keep Kansas City under 24 points, and this offense is able to score 30 consistently, I think that's the biggest aggravating part of it all to Ben is we got to work towards that. So I don't care how we're scoring or where our yards are coming from. Heck, if I'm throwing the ball 40 times with this elbow off this past injury season, Cool, so be it. But guess what? We're scoring points. I think that is the biggest stickler to him as far as getting asked that question. That is the biggest deterrent and like, yeah, but. If you're asking me and me knowing him,
yeah,
that's what I would say it means.
Actually, yeah, it all adds up because anybody who stayed up and watched that Sunday game,
yes,
I mean, it was just a track meet. And whoever was going to have the – I'm referring for people who don't know to the Las Vegas-Kansas City game.
Yeah.
I thought Derek Carr played just as well as
Patrick. He's playing so much better this year.
He really is.
Yeah.
And with fewer weapons, I might add, than what Mahomes has.
Imagine if they'd have had AB still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, so he's on to something if that's what he's looking at, because you're going to need to score 30-plus points to beat the Chiefs. The funny thing is at the end of his session on Tuesday, somebody Mike Pursuta from WDBE, who knows Ben as well as most do, actually asked him, are you looking at the Chiefs for a scoring – I know, right, for a scoring barometer. And knowing Mike as I do, I wouldn't be surprised if Mike was privy to something. And I'm glad I'm dropping this on you on camera here, because
I know that's my first time hearing it. Yeah.
I know, because that's actually pretty cool, because it tells you a lot about it's the big picture. It's always the big picture.
Always.
It's
not
the, you know, you want to beat Jacksonville and everything else, but you've got to get better and you've got to raise a bar. Mm-hmm. And I think he was upset with a lot of things that happened in the second half of that game against the Jaguars. Some of them were him. I mean, he didn't make a lot of passes.
Yeah. And I'll say this too. We say we never look forward to stuff or look ahead, and that's true. We don't. But I'll say this. The scouting that's probably been done at 3400 South Water Street in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on the south side, is every single game is watching. Every single person is watching the Kansas City. This is as strong as a team as Pittsburgh's ever had. And the ability to either win the AFC North now, compete and beat anybody else in the playoffs is huge. I'll never forget the playoff race we had in 2010 when we went to the Super Bowl. We were all game prepping for it was for New England. And then the Jets ended up winning, right?
Mm-hmm.
I vividly remember our scouting department and coaches like, oh, we got to get the Jets. We got to start looking at the Jets because they just knew they were going to lose, you know, whatever the case may have been. And that's where I feel like they are as far as this season. It means a lot, man. You look at – we talked about it at our radio station this morning, the amount of free agents that Pittsburgh's got to go through next year.
Oh. It's a quarter of the roster.
I know. Let's not even go that far, but this year means a lot. And I think the locking in of – right now, Kansas City holds the crown, but Pittsburgh is coming forward in the sense of whatever it takes. And that 30 points a game means a lot. So when Ben said it doesn't matter the percentages of run versus pass, I ventured out to believe that because I'll say what's the ultimate goal, and that's to play Kansas City in the AFC Championship.
So the Ravens come into Pittsburgh on Thanksgiving night. It's a game that the moment the schedule came out, even with coronavirus and everything else, everybody circled, because regardless of how many people you were going to have in Heinz Field, you're going to have the whole country watching these arch rivals play. It's in our place. It is on national TV. There's great exposure for the city. Mike Tomlin described it immediately after the game in Jacksonville, I might add, as an honor to be part of that.
Yeah.
To say that the whole football world, and really the whole country, because everybody turns that game on. It's the highest rated regular season game. Is it going to be a dud now? I don't know, you know?
I don't think so. I'll say this. If you're a fan of Pittsburgh, you don't care if it's a dud.
So a little bit too. But I mean, you know, all right, if you're in, you know, Poughkeepsie, New York, is it okay. A dud?
No, I don't think so. It's because these teams are going to play each other hard no matter what. I mean, look at us last year. We still competed well with Baltimore in a sense, man. It doesn't matter who's in or who's out. The rivalry between the coaches is always going to be pure. Not that there's a rivalry, but the back and forth is always pure. It's always a sense of, I got you, ha-ha. type of moment, you know, and it's, we'll shake hands, we'll dap it up, we go on to the next year. I'll see you again next year. That's what you always look forward to, is I'll see you again next year. And I say this, if Pittsburgh does win this game convincingly, or they control it throughout the most part, I always think about, well, we got to see them again next year. You know, that's the type of mindset that this game brings. So it being a dud, I just don't think so, because they're going to play well. Baltimore defense is well enough, good enough to where they can still compete and try to control the game. That's where they come from. And then getting Lamar at Heinz Field, I think, would be more, riveting, more of an, you're vindicated in the sense of like, yeah, we got you here and at your house, which we haven't yet. So I think it'll still be good.
Well, let's get down to the picks here, because they don't have the Ravens, both of their top running backs, mm-hmm. and Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins. Dobbins really coming along, by the way.
He is.
They don't have Brandon Williams. I know you know Brandon Williams well.
You doggone right, yeah.
They might not have Calais Campbell. They're not coming in here at full strength. What's your pick here?
I got us winning. I keep saying us. I got us winning. I have Pittsburgh winning. If Ben wants to get 30 on Baltimore, he will. He can. If they minimize some mistakes, guys taking the ball where it needs to go, run and pass after catch. I say they win this. Man, it'd be beautiful. They go 35. I'll be honest with you, 35-18. No.
35-17. There's a lot to like about the matchup from the Pittsburgh perspective. And at the same time, one of the things that I think that we can bank on the Steelers doing, maybe for the first time this season, and it's something that you've been part of, but they haven't shown yet in 2020, Randy Feitner was strongly suggesting that they might come out big. Now, he's done that in the past where he suggested this and then nothing of the sort has materialized. But when that happens, what impact does it have on a team? Because if you think about Baltimore, you think of them from the perspective of their secondary, the guys they have in the back. So if you come out with a big set, does Baltimore have to come out with bigs of their own? Why don't they just say, you know what, you do what you want?
Yeah. You know what? They do. And you know, Randy's funny. You know why Randy's doing this? Because Baltimore's without Calais and Brandon, okay? Uh-huh. Brandon Williams. They're outmatched at this point. And I'll say this, too. I don't know if Baltimore's linebacker core is good enough in the pass pro to be able to say, okay, if they do decide to go out with Ebron again, still in that big set, you're still going to be outmatched in the sense of personnel. And also, it's this. It's disrespectful, and I love it, too, okay? I absolutely love it, DK, because, again, your mindset is this. I respect you, but because you're less than, and I know it, I'm going to abuse you. It's not like Gerald Hawkins is about to go out in the pass route. I've seen him run the pass tree.
He's eligible.
There is no way. And Randy is just saying, hey, look, you want to run the ball? So I'm going to give you exactly what you're looking for. I'm going to put my big personnel out there and my guys up front. Hey, whether we get 2 yards or whether we get 20 yards, we're going to run it at you until we break you. And that is the beauty of the big set.
And we're going to keep a lot of your DBs off the field as well. From the other perspective, you and I have talked many times about the Steelers solving or figuring out Lamar. Keith Butler beautifully bit back on that one yesterday, saying he's the dadgum MVP. We haven't solved anything. I don't do a very good Keith Butler, but if I did, that would have been very funny.
But when you said it, I heard it in my mind.
Yeah, I know. You heard it in his voice. Yeah. They really have, though, haven't they? I mean, they put together the template, and now we see that Pittsburgh has beaten him, and we see that Tennessee, using the Pittsburgh template, has beaten the Ravens not once, but now again this past Sunday. Wow. How did they pull that off? How did they do it?
I'll say this, that if for anything, I appreciate certain things continue on. Pittsburgh has historically been known for its defense, and throughout the years and decades, it stayed that way. Coach Tomlin kind of curated that in the way, and when he came in, the type Dick LeBeau to now Keith Butler, and also Coach Tomlin's dealings in it a little bit as much as he can. It's just the type of coaches that they did when they moved on from Coach Mitch, in the sense of just having him in a role. I'm sure he's a guy that still has input here. There are leases around the building, man. It's a mindset. There were certain changes that were made. Coaches were shifted around. Coach Butts went to the outside linebacker coach also. Defense is big in Pittsburgh. Defense is something that they treasure. Defense is something that they know offenses is what sells tickets, but defense is what wins championships. And because of those reasons, when you have a hot, dynamic guy the way Baltimore does in Lamar, you got to get him while you can every single time, because if not, he's a guy that can run a division. It's the same way the Arizona game was so big for us last year when Kyle was playing. I mean, look what we did against him in of like it was.
I thought he was going to go back to playing baseball after that game.
You feel me? Like, think about those things and those guys, man.
Mon, like, his body language was that he didn't want to be out there. I mean, that sounds crazy, especially now. Since he's matured, he also got DeAndre Hopkins, which doesn't hurt. It helps your enthusiasm, whatever. But yeah, he had no chance that day, none.
Yeah, and it's as simple as just giving him time. And the only thing that I can say out of it is the whole Patriots Pittsburgh thing, man. And the Patriots had a system that just worked. They waited on our mistakes, and I think watching this team now, they're minimizing those mistakes. They found ways to override those mistakes. It'd be really, really interesting to see this defense with this offense and these tools that they have against those Patriot teams. I'd venture to say that Pittsburgh, they would either split those games or Pittsburgh would win those games. And I know it's revisiting the past and putting a scenario up that we can't see right now, but that mindset of Coach Butler, Keith Butler, and his defense is, we're going to get you eventually. And now it's at a point to where it looked like with Lamar, he's got to become a better pro. We had Michael Vick on my show here in Nashville, and that's one of the things that he said to a guy that was like him. He's like, it's a passing league. He's like, the passing has to come first. Your legs is a, hey, that's the side dish. They're going to force him to be a better passer if he's going to play in the AFC North against Pittsburgh two times a year.
Moan, happy Thanksgiving to you, my man.
Happy Thanksgiving, all you guys. Stay safe. Love each other. Be thankful. Have fun.